Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. It is time to light the night on this Friday night version of our show where we talk about movies and TV and music and theater and pop culture and all cool things in our cool summer state of Wisconsin. Downtown Green Bay is jumping tonight. There is a lot going on downtown tonight. It's a lovely summer evening. I hope wherever you are joining us from in this great state that we call home, that you're having a lovely night. I don't think there's any bad weather around the state at the moment. Do you, Conrad?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I can tell that because I'm looking out the window here at one street.
Yeah.
But it is a gorgeous night here in Wisconsin. Great to have you with us here on Nightlight. Really fun show tonight. Rob Thomas joins the show. We always have fun talking to Rob. He'll be here at 7:30. We're going to see if we can get information out of Rob about the Twinges. Because we had Matt Eisman on the show last week from American Ninja Warrior. He can't say anything. The episode hadn't even aired yet, but it did air. It was on Monday night. And I'll be damned if I cannot find any information on the Twinges, the twins from Madison who are in the semifinals and might have been bounced, right?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I still didn't watch the episode yet, so I've been a bad Wisconsinite on that.
Yeah. So well, hopefully maybe Rob can give us some insights. Maybe he signed an NDA. But either way, we'll at least we will try to get some information for you guys. That's all we can do. And we'll talk about all things box office and TV. Rob has watched, I would say the last couple times he's been here, we've pretty much watched the same things, but he's got a lot on his list now that I haven't seen yet. And I have a couple things he hasn't seen. So it should be a fun discussion. That's at 7:35. And it is a bar band Friday night. You guessed it. Terry Barr will be here with a new band. She brings great music every week. And we've got three for the price of one today because Terry is at Atwood Fest. It's this week, right, Conrad?
Yeah, this week.
This weekend. So she's going to give us a little sneak peek at three of the acts that are at Atwood Fest. We'll do that at 8:35 with Terry. So tonight's question, ladies and gentlemen, this is a big night because I always want to try to work the word Olympiad into a sentence, but I just sound like I'm trying to be intelligent or something. But the Olympics kick off tonight. So our question tonight is, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Now, I'll go first. And actually, Conrad, do you have one?
Yeah, I do.
It's okay, why don't you go first? Lead us off.
I actually have two, but one's good and then one's the worst.
Oh, really?
The worst one was the last time USA played basketball, and we lost. I think we got bronze.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think we got bronze, actually. But it was pathetic. We didn't show up.
Wait a minute. That was when the pros couldn't play, right?
No, we had some pros on that team.
Really? Because I remember they lost, and then because no pros were allowed, and then they said, no, pros. We're doing pros from now on because America will not lose the basketball, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they hit a couple pros. It was just during a time where a lot of people were like trying to go for a championship in the NBA or something like that.
Okay.
And now it's great. We got a bunch of people from the NBA this year. But my favorite is 2013, I believe. I believe that was the year when they won the gold, the USA basketball.
Okay, so you have both hoop-related memories. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, that's basically all I watched.
In the Olympics?
I do. You know what I actually like watching is the table tennis.
Oh, that is fun.
It is. Because it's just crazy out there.
Yeah, that is fun.
The hand-eye coordination with that is crazy.
They're amazing. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny. I love the NFL. I like baseball and basketball. I don't watch it as much as I used to. But when I see people doing what those guys are doing with the ping pong balls, that's harder than catching a pass.
Yeah.
Or these the Olympians that like those gymnasts that are like this on the rings or doing triple quadruple, that's harder to do than shooting a basketball. But they only have amateur status. It's like they get no recognition unless it's the Olympics.
I just can't believe how fast it is. You know how fast paced it is?
What do you mean? The Olympics?
The table tennis, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just so fast-paced, I don't even know how they do it.
It's absolutely insane, and it is fun to watch. And yeah. I can't believe they can even hit that once, much less several times. All right, so Conrad's memories are both hoop-related, which is cool. Yep. I got to be honest. I'm not trying to be contrarian. I think, like, basketball, I just expect us to win.
You would think.
You would think.
We've been having some close wins against some teams this year, so I'm kind of nervous, but not at the same time, because we have an all-star team.
That's also because the rest of the world has caught up a little bit, too. Like,
yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're better at basketball than they used to be. But I think I have two memories. Mine, one is kind of underrated, but he's a Wisconsinite. His name is Dan Jansen. And those of you that remember Dan Jansen, he was a speed skater, I think from West Bend, somewhere down outside of Milwaukee. And this was probably in the 90s. He was widely known as the best speed skater, but he could never seem to get the Olympic gold. And it was like, before social media, you saw the look on his wife's face, on his face when he'd look at the time, and you could see how heartbroken they were. But this guy just couldn't close. And then one day he won the gold. And I was like, it was like I was living vicariously through him. It was just such a neat moment. He looked up at the clock and he put his arms up and his wife was crying. It was like he was still a widely heralded skater with or without that medal. But Olympic gold just changes things. It was so cool. That's Dan Jansen. So we should try to get him on the show, Conrad. I have no idea what he is up to these days. But, he could be he could be selling suits. He could be teaching speed skating. He could still be speed skating. He's probably in his 60s or 70s now, but we should try to get him on the show. I would love to interview him about that moment.
I'll pull some strings.
See what you can do. Make a few phone calls. My other one, and this was just a great moment for the country, and I'm not even a hockey fan, but the Miracle on Ice in 1980 was really cool. Everybody, again, we had three channels at the time. So it's like, you're either watching the Olympics or Remington Steel. There was not a lot to choose from. But everybody became a hockey fan when Team USA would play. You got to know the players. They made, what was the movie called? The Miracle on Ice, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was called, isn't it a Disney?
Disney film.
Yeah.
That was a really, really cool moment. And it was an upset. So those are my two. It's funny because Jansen was not necessarily an upset. That was just like a rite of, he was supposed to win that, but he just never had. So that was cool that he finally got it. And then the Miracle on Ice was a big upset. And it was just cool because you got to know all of those guys. I don't know what the ratings were, but with the amount of channels we had then, I bet they were incredible. There were no Kardashians or there was no ESPN even, I don't think. It's like 1981. So those are my two favorite Olympic memories. Tell us what your favorite Olympic memory is. What is your favorite Olympic moment? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I have something that really grossed me out today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here's my problem. Okay, so we've talked before on this show. I can't stand. I was at a restaurant in Madison on Monday, and I ordered my food, and I tipped. And I've talked about this before. I'm walking around my tray. The table I want to use, the only table available, has food, has remnants of food on it. So I made a point to walk back after I tipped for people who just put my salad together. I said, "Can I have a rag to wipe off the table?" And she was very nice. She said, "Oh, I am so sorry. I'll do that." Other places, they're like, "Yeah, here you go, buddy. Thanks for the $2." But this drove me crazy. And I don't know if people realize this. But Conrad, you ever use salt and pepper in a restaurant or a diner?
I use pepper sometimes for fries, but that's about it. I don't really salt things. Because if it's not salted enough, then it wasn't made that great.
Okay, fair enough. I can't touch salt shakers or pepper shakers in restaurants anymore. Because people will go and wipe the table down. They rarely pick up the salt and pepper shakers and wipe those down. And you got people with greasy hands using the salt and pepper shaker. It's disgusting. It's like a film on both salt and pepper shakers.
I've never really thought about that. Now I'm thinking about that.
Now
I'm
you will.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever touch one again.
The next time you go in, I'm telling you, it's just like I was in a place, a bar up in Marinette, and I reached for the salt and pepper shaker. I almost felt like I needed a shower. They don't think of that. They don't. It's an oversight, but you got to wipe down the ketchup and the salt and pepper. You can tell I'm eating at the high class places. But I'm just saying, that's got to change. We're Americans. We need to fix this.
Get cleaning.
Get cleaning. We got someone checking in on the stream. Daniel Berry, Sports Highlights. Hey, everybody. Happy birthday. Thank you, Daniel. Great to have you with us tonight. Whose birthday is it?
It says happy Friday, not happy birthday.
Where does it say that?
It says happy Friday.
Daniel, I'm sorry. I have a snarky attitude. You're just saying happy Friday. Happy Friday to you too, buddy. Great to have you with us. Do you have a favorite Olympic moment, Daniel? Lay it on us if you do. Yeah, I think that's a good question. There's so many great Olympic moments. I mean, some people might say Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Cool. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. 2008, I remember that. I was cheering for him, but it's kind of like he was expected to win. He won a lot.
Yeah, he did.
That's what made that so cool, but he was, I mean, hands down, the best swimmer in the world.
So now it's like Peacock has the coverage for it, you know?
Yeah.
They have like a Sunday ticket, like Red Zone, you know?
Oh, come on.
Olympic version of it. So it's just like 8 different sports going on at once.
You have to pay for it?
No, not on Peacock. Oh. Well, I mean, you have to pay for Peacock, but...
Right, but they're special coverage you don't have to pay for. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's like 8 different screens just going on. It's so cool.
That is nice. Because I remember in the early 90s, they did... NBC did what they called a triple cast.
Okay.
They tried to pitch this. They wanted everybody to pay for it, and like 7 people did. It was a total flop. And Bob Costas was pushing it, too. Didn't go anywhere. I was secretly happy about that. Because the Olympics should be free. Come on. We'll talk about some friendly states when we come back. Maybe do a clip or two before we welcome Rob Thomas, a frequent flyer here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It's Friday night in Wisconsin. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Continues to defy the odds. Actually, I wouldn't say he's defying the odds. He's 81. 81. And he loves what he does. So he's up there, but he's still prancing around and he looks like he's doing okay. I've never seen the Rolling Stones in concert. They are on my list. I have to see them at some point. There's quite a few of them left. They'll be one of those bands, like, even after Mick and Keith are gone, like, just the drummer will tour and call it the Rolling Stones. So they'll be touring for a while. There's still enough of them left. Jason Statham turns 57 today. Did you see a movie called The Beekeeper, Conrad?
Yeah, I love that movie, actually.
I did, too.
We were talking about that last night, and we did have the same, like, towards the end, it got pretty fake.
Yeah.
But, like, the story was so good.
That's right.
I love the story of it, though.
Yeah. Because we were talking about Thelma, where the older woman got scammed. That's right. Yeah, of course. Helen Mirren turns 79 today. She's from 1923. The Taylor Sheridan show. Loved it. Sandra Bullock turns 60. Have you seen Speed, Conrad?
Is that a newer one?
No. It's like 94, maybe. Keanu Reeves, Jeff Daniels, Dennis Hopper, Sandra Bullock. It's like... they put a bomb in the bus, and the bus cannot go below, I think, 50 miles an hour or it'll explode.
I've actually never seen that.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it holds up. It's a great premise. And if you can get past Keanu Reeves with his, like, there's a bum in the bus. Like, it's just kind of, it's so weird because I find it hard to watch him acting sometimes, but everything I read about him, I love him. He seems like the coolest guy ever. Gives a lot of his money away, talks to regular people all the time, doesn't rush. He sounds like a saint. But he can be hard to watch. Do you like The Matrix?
You know, I haven't actually seen it fully. Like, I've seen it, but not, like, in a while.
Yeah.
I know the red pill, blue pill thing and all of that, but, it would be hard to remember it that well.
I don't remember that, the red pill, blue pill. I don't think it holds up, though. Tom from New Berlin checks in. Eric Heiden in the 80s, Winter Olympics. That's right. I forgot about Eric Heiden. Is he a Wisconsinite? Let's go to the Google. I can't remember. Eric Heiden. No, he was not a Wisconsin. He was just a... unless Tom was talking about the orthopedic surgeon, Eric Heiden. Are they one of the... They might be the same guy.
They could be. Who knows?
I hate this guy. He's a gold medalist, and he does orthopedic surgery. Like, I'm amazed at people that can do... that master two things that are totally different. And they're calling him, he is considered one of the best speed skaters of all time. Wow. No kidding. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the text. That's a good one. I forgot about Eric Heiden. So this, Todd Michaels shares this sheet every day with some really cool fun facts. A survey found the friendliest states in America are Minnesota, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas, and Wyoming. The rudest states are New York, Arkansas, Delaware, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. Newsweek has a ranking of all 50 states based on how friendly they are to tourists, according to a survey of travelers on social media. And if the states in the Northeast have a reputation for being rude, this won't help. New York was named the rudest state in America, followed by Arkansas, Delaware, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Washington, New Hampshire, Nevada, Florida, and Rhode Island. No single area of the country dominated the friendliest states list. So Wisconsin is neither one of the more friendly or the rudest. I can live with that.
I'm surprised we're not one of the friendliest.
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Maybe Chicago had something to do with that.
I think they all voted. Yeah, they pull us over all the time. No, I just, I think Wisconsin's right in the middle. I've met very friendly. First of all, I think that's nonsense to say. When people say, well, the people in my town, we're the best people in the world. No, you're not. You're just people. You're fine people. But there are rude people everywhere, and there are friendly people everywhere. When push comes to shove, you will probably get more rudeness in New York. No one's going to coddle you there. But I think, I will say Wisconsin, like where I live, I think people are friendly because they don't beep at other people, like especially bad drivers. Small towns, you can drive poorly. No one's going to give you the finger. No one's going to beep at you. You're allowed to just kind of be in your own little world. So we're friends. I'm friendly. You ever beep at someone, Conrad?
I have, but like twice, maybe.
But there's a difference, like giving a toot. To say, hey, the light's green, or hey, you're about to hit me, or something like that, or coming into your lane. But if someone's just driving slow, I don't tailgate and lay on the horn like that, you know.
I mean, there's always another lane to go to. That's why I, like, don't get generally, like...
Too upset.
Too upset, yeah. But I had one time someone was trying to, like, go when they weren't supposed to, when they turned left, and almost hit me. I'm like, I laid on it.
Yeah.
And then they looked at me, like, really shocked.
Listen, when I was younger, I had no problem, like, I would beep at someone when I was much younger. And if they, you know, give me the finger or something, I'd do something back, or I don't do any of that now. I am terrified that someone's got a gun, you know?
I mean, yeah.
Not getting into that. If I knew people didn't have a gun, I would be the biggest jerk in the world.
I feel like it's also like, you never know how bad of a day they've had either.
Exactly.
Now, they could have just had a really bad day and then.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a little, another cool tidbit of information. And I knew this was going to happen this week. I do the, in my Hollywood beats, I typically say who won the box office, what's opening, that kind of stuff. We have a new champ in the highest grossing animated movie of all time category, and it is Inside Out 2. This movie just, like, Inside Out 1 isn't even in the top 10, and it was a good movie. But Inside Out 2 is the new champ when it comes to animated films. And it only took, like, I think five or six weeks now. The film has grossed $1.462 billion. And it surpassed Frozen 2, which is at $1.45 billion. Number three is Super Mario. Four is Frozen, the first Frozen. Incredibles 2 is five. Minions is six. Toy Story 4 is seven. Toy Story 3 is eight. Despicable Me 3 is nine. And Finding Dory is 10. I wonder if this is like adjusted for inflation, because I mean, sometimes when there's like a groundswell of people get excited about a film, they're even more excited about the sequel. Such is the case, it would appear, with Toy Story 4 and 3. Anyway, I think that's great. Inside Out 2 was just a really lovely little film. Highly recommend it. I wonder if Rob Thomas, Conrad, do you think Rob Thomas has seen Inside Out 2?
I think, did he say he saw it with his daughter? He might have said that last time. You should ask him again, though.
How can we ask him that? When will we see him?
Right after the break.
Oh, perfect. That works out well. All right, Rob Thomas is coming up next. But first, we have award-winning news coverage from our fantastic news team here at Civic Media. You got Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops here. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groans. Singing late in the evening, and all the girls out. So, our question tonight is, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Got some good ones here so far. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Olympian is Mark Spitz, an 11-time medalist. Medalist or gold? Just medalist, she says. So probably not all gold. Going to a Rolling Stones concert is on my bucket list. Mine as well, Anna. And she says, Eric Heiden is from Madison. That's good to know. So we've got our share of speed skating icons here between Eric Heiden and Dan Jansen. That's pretty cool. Tom from New Berlin says, multitasking, watching the opening of the Olympics, guys. It's entertaining. It always is. I love that. I'm with you, Tom. I love the opening ceremonies. It's so cool when they all walk in. I don't know. That never gets old for me. Tom also says, must see. Agreed, Tom. All right. So it is a Terry Bar Band Friday night. She'll be here at 8:35 with new music. Great music, like she always brings. She's batting 1,000, Conrad. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
I told you I was going to ask that question and what to say, but I'm glad you still acquiesced, as they say. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to entertainment and movies and TV with a frequent Nightlight flyer here. Our buddy Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins us now on the stream. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
So you've been a U.S. citizen now officially for like 3 weeks. Do you feel different?
Well, I think this has been the most eventful 3 weeks in American political history. So I feel like I've lived a lifetime here now. So
do you feel taller, Rob? Like
a little bit.
Chest thumpy?
Got a bit of a swagger. You know, a bit of an American swagger.
I love it. That's awesome. All right, so I don't know if you can help us with this, Rob. We had Matt Eisman on the show last week, the host of American Ninja Warrior. We talked about the Twinges from Madison. You did a great article recently about these two guys from Madison. Do you know what happened on Monday? Because I don't know if they're keeping it under wraps, if they just filmed it. I thought it was supposed to air on Monday.
Well, I watched it.
So it was on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on Monday. Yeah. Unless what was on NBC or Peacock was supposed to be embargoed, they should have by mistake. They did not make it to the next round.
Okay.
But so it was very fun. I don't think I realized, like, I talked to them and they were like, oh, you know, everybody's buddies and we share tips on how to beat the course. And I was kind of, at the time I was kind of like, I don't really, isn't this a competition? I mean, they're warriors, but you watch the show and it's like, they're all best buddies with each other. Like, yeah. When Nathan was running, his opponent's mom was wearing one of Nathan's Twinges t-shirts and like cheering. Wow. And like before Marquez and his opponent went, and the two brothers that trained with his opponent in Iowa, I guess he was a national finalist, they took a selfie together. And wow. It's just such a different vibe that, like, you don't see that on The Bachelorette. You know, you don't see them like, no kidding. I hope you make it if I don't. So right. It's just an interesting, very friendly vibe. So, you know, while I'm sure they're disappointed they didn't make it to the next round, it's a very supportive group. And so it was fun to watch that way.
If there's one thing I think that's been lacking from The Bachelorette, parkour. Get those women out there. See what they can do.
You know, they're thinking, remember that show Wipeout? I feel like there's a Bachelorette Wipeout is in the offing pretty soon.
I do. Yeah. Boy, Wipeout was such an almost win. Like, it was borderline. Like, I watched it when my kids were young. It was fun enough, but the jokes were so bad. And I don't know, it was like borderline entertainment. Am I wrong?
We enjoyed it. And again, yeah. I watched it with my kids when they were young. Same thing. It was good cross-generational entertainment. Just dumb people getting punched with giant punching bag, you know, boxing gloves and
right.
fall into the water. And yeah, we had a good time with it. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, we agree to disagree, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're more highbrow than me.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I need my Wipeout to be a little more cerebral.
More of a plot.
Speaking of, I don't know what just got me on. Multi-generational entertainment. I don't know if I've told you this. I love the movie Ball Blart Mall Cop. When I went to see it with my son, he was like six.
Okay.
And or maybe he was eight. I don't know. It was just one of those films. It was silly and sweet. And we just both loved it. I saw you wrote recently about Paul Blart 3, but it's not a threequel. It's an actual stage play.
No, yes, and probably it's best that Kevin James' attorneys don't know about it, I think. But yeah, it's this Madison comedian, Alan Talaga. He wrote, I think this was before the pandemic, he wrote like an unauthorized threequel to the Paul Blart series, because, you know, part two, Paul Blart went to Vegas. And this was a post-apocalyptic story where I think they're trying to search for Paul Blart because like society has fallen. They're trying to build a mall as like a shrine to the before times. Of course they need security. So he wrote this play. It premiered in Madison at sort of an underground theater and was a huge hit, like it sold out every performance.
Oh, nice.
And so I interviewed him because now he's taking it to kind of on the road to like Minneapolis and Indianapolis. They have these what they call fringe festivals, which are sort of like theater and stand-up comedy and sort of edgy, kind of subversive, usually funny type things. And so they're taking it there, and it's starting in Madison this weekend. It's doing a weekend, a few shows in each of those days, and then back here. Okay. And it's become quite a thing. Yeah, I mean, it's become quite a hit show. And the thing he thought was funny was he meant to satirize Paul Blart and just the idea of like, you know, the legacy sequel. But he said he found that people get really emotionally involved in it. Like the things he wrote as jokes, people are like cheering about. So it shows, you know, if Kevin James wants to do a Paul Blart 3, he might want to come to Madison and catch this performance.
Yeah. I 10 sold out shows in Madison. That's pretty good. I thought Paul Blart was a satire already of like mall cops, you know? So
no, I think it was very sincere about mall security and the challenges they face in our society.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
I get that. Let's talk about what we've seen, because you and I, you've seen a lot of stuff that I haven't. And, I think, I always like talking to you, getting your opinion before I head out to the theaters. You've seen, Twisters. What did you think?
Yep. I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the original Twister in 1996. I remember seeing it in the theater and just remembering how loud it was, these tornadoes. Yeah. Like, and they did a good job. It's sort of strange. It's like tied very slightly to the older movie, but there's no characters carried over. And, you know, it's just, it's a similar sort of disaster movie vibe where you've got these storm chasers and the tornadoes are wreaking destruction and they get bigger and bigger. And, you know, everybody's talking about Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick. He's really good as sort of a, I guess he's kind of like a YouTuber, right? Who chases these tornadoes and then puts it up on social media. And Daisy Edgar Jones is the more serious minded scientist. And I mean, I saw it with my brother and we had a great time.
Okay. Yeah. I it's on my list. I didn't love the first one. I just thought I didn't hate it. I just thought it was a little hokey. Like when they get the guy, the science guy, and then the more, you know, the guy who could sense the tornado. I don't know. It was just sort of a strange, little hokey.
It's a little hokey too. It's like there's science, okay, and then there's sort of like tornado whisperers who can sort of tell.
What, right.
I think they did a good job. The one thing I thought was interesting was like the tornadoes in 1996, like the special effects were pretty spectacular. And like now we kind of seen it all after CGI. So they do a good job putting you a little more on the characters, I think, and not expecting you're going to be wowed by the spectacle of these CGI tornadoes.
Oh, okay.
And there's some interesting, you know, I think there, I remember being a little more suspenseful in 1996. Maybe, like I said, maybe I was just, it was all new to me and you're a little more jaded now. But it's still like, like I said, it's a good time, very much a big screen summer movie. I'm not surprised it's doing really well. It's just, it's the kind of movie that you go out and see in the summer.
Boy, the blockbusters come back gangbusters, don't you think? My
theory is that they're starting the summer movie season too early. Like they're starting first week of May, and I think once the kids are out of school and, like, you know, the temperature goes up, people like want to go out to summer movies,
right? But
and so that's why you're seeing like the Bad Boys movie, and of course all the kids movies like Inside Out 2, which we talked about last time, is so great. And I think that's why they're really doing well. It's like, that's something you want to do in the summer, is find an air conditioned theater and
absolutely
a big movie and have a good time. So, and then I think like Deadpool versus Wolverine is this weekend, which is supposed to be just ginormous hit. Yeah,
they've had a nice run recently. Have you seen Long Legs, Rob?
I have not. I've read a lot about it. I'm sort of fascinated by it.
Me too. No, I have not, but yeah. I have jaded friends on social media that didn't like it. But critics really like it, and I love what I read about it. So I'm definitely going to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
They've marketed it really well. And I think what I've seen is, like, they market it as, like, the scariest movie ever made. And then horror fans go and say, you know what, not that scary. But Nicolas Cage seems super interesting. It seems super weird. It's, like, kind of Silence of the Lambsy, but then kind of takes a bit of a turn. I'm very interested in it as well.
And there's another big milestone. Did you see that Inside Out 2 finally got over the hump? It is now the all-time highest grossing animated film.
That's great. We loved it, right?
I mean,
really good. I went in with some skepticism because it's a sequel, but I thought they did a really good job. So, I mean,
totally.
Do you know what it beat? I bet it was like a Toy Story or
Frozen 2.
Okay.
You know what's weird? And I don't know if they have adjusted for inflation or anything, but two of my favorite all times are both the first Toy Stories, and they're not even in the top 10. So, I mean, it seems like people really go nuts for sequels, which I don't understand. Like, it seems like the first one would be the more highly attended, but I don't know.
It must not be adjusted for inflation, because like everybody saw that movie.
That's what I thought.
Toy Story 1995. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're also watching Skywalkers. That's a Star Wars spinoff, I assume. I've not heard
it
of that
one. It is not. I was surprised. Yes. I mean, for once, it was not a Star Wars movie. Yeah, it's this documentary on Netflix about these two Russian, very young, good-looking Russians who fall in love with each other. The twist is they fall in love, you know, on a on a cell phone tower 150 stories up in the air. They're like these daredevil, they call it rooftoppers, but I think don't think it does it justice. They climb up to like these most super high towers and buildings. The woman is a former acrobat, and they take these just unbelievable drone footage of each of themselves. And so it's a interesting, I mean, first of all, it's incredible to look at. If you have vertigo, it's probably not for you, because I mean, there are rights, you know, just sashing on the edge of these. I mean, it's phenomenal and unbelievable how high up they are. And sort of the through line is them trying to get to the top of, I can't remember the name of the tower in Kuala Lumpur, but it's like the tallest building.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it does that. And then sort of like their relationship, and like, he was a YouTuber and his like corporate sponsors, like you need to have a woman for like, I don't know, more reach. And then they ended up kind of falling for each other. And she she was more of an artist, I think, where he was more of a daredevil a little bit. And it's cool. It's on Netflix now. I highly recommend it.
I had not even heard of that. I'm just looking at it right now. It does look really cool.
Yeah, it's so cool to watch.
All right. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Rob about a new film called National Anthem that looks really cool, and the movie Fly Me to the Moon, which Rob did not seem to like as well. And we'll check out his Wisconsin Olympian knowledge as well, too. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love her. What is your favorite Olympic moment over the course of your life? What is your favorite Olympic memory? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Rob, do you have a favorite Olympic moment?
Oh, Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
No question.
So yeah. Great, wasn't it?
Yeah, great movie, too.
And have you ever interviewed Dan Jansen?
Is that Dan and Dave? Is that what I'm talking about?
No, Dan was the speed skater who was like the best in the world, but could not win Olympic gold for some reason. And then he got over the hump, and it was like one of the most, it was one of my favorite Olympic moments, just seeing him, seeing his wife and all the stress that was off their back. It was just a really cool moment. I think he was from West Bend. Yeah. And then Eric Heiden, I just found out from one of our texters told me Eric Heiden is also from Madison. This guy won an Olympic gold as a speed skater, and now he's like a brain surgeon, or what? He's an orthopedic surgeon. People like that really tick me off, Rob.
I'm struggling to get one career right. He's got two.
Right. I'm done with this. I think I'll do surgery now. Okay. So do you think the Hawk Tua girls' 15 minutes of fame are up, Rob?
I don't know. More power to her. I mean, you know, like, I mean, if you can ride that wave, go for it.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah. I guess. It seems like she's not getting the response she was getting to her head fake a few weeks ago.
I don't know what she's, yeah. I saw, if I say the Chick-fil-A girl, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was a TikTok thing. But then I saw, like, she's a Chick-fil-A employee, and, like, she put out her first signal. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, we didn't want that. All we wanted was the video. And now you want to be a pop star? Like, just, single. You know, stay in your lane. Yeah.
Oh, man. When we found out she was the Hawk Tua girl, was either going to do stand-up comedy, and she had offers for her own reality show. I don't know how you stretch that into a reality show. But
no.
I'll send you, Conrad, let's take a memo to send Rob our sketch we did.
Sounds good.
It's just sort of a sneak peek at a particular episode. I think you'll have fun.
That's great.
All right. So what else was I going to ask you about? Fly Me to the Moon. You didn't like it. I didn't see it.
It was getting touted as sort of like, oh, it's a return to the rom-com finally.
Yeah.
With Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson. It was a little too much because it was like set around the Apollo 11 launch. And he's like the straight laced mission control guy. And she's like this marketing person that NASA brings in to try and sell the space program to the Americans who are kind of jaded at this point. So there's something there. I thought that was kind of interesting. But then there was this whole other part where like she's supposed to fake the moon landing just in case like Apollo 11 doesn't go well. She's trying to hide it from him. And then like the whole movie like becomes Apollo 13 and they focus, understandably, you focus on men walking on the moon. You don't want to, it's a little more important than whether him and her get together or not. Right. So, it didn't come together for me. It'll probably be on Apple TV pretty soon. I think, I'm not sure if it's even in theaters anymore.
And then what about, National Anthem looks good. You like that. I got to say that looks really interesting.
Yeah, that might be out of theaters by now. I think that was an indie, but it was about this. So this photographer has done a whole book called National Anthem about photos about this gay rodeo circuit in New Mexico, Colorado. And this is he directed this film, a sort of a fictionalized version about this young construction worker who's sort of very stressed out and frustrated, and he gets kind of caught up in this world, and it's just a beautiful looking film, as you can expect from a photographer to make. And I really enjoyed it. I was sort of that was one I went into not really knowing what it was, and I thought it was a beautiful film. So like I said, it's probably out of theaters now, but probably coming to VOD pretty soon, I think, certainly by the end of the summer.
That is a subculture I was unaware of, Rob. Gay rodeo.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Really? And I would imagine it would be.
Yeah. And one thing I liked about the film was that it didn't really like put that against like, you know, any sort of homophobic, you know, thing. It's just like this world and these people and like how they live and the joy they get from this. It was really quite, quite inspiring to watch.
Did you see the Driveway Girls or Driveway Dolls?
Driveway Dolls, yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
I thought it was bad. It was from one of the Coen brothers.
Half the Coen brothers, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, boy, I think you understand why you need the other half. It was like...
I didn't hate it, but I agree. It was just not... they were trying to do something, it just didn't work.
Yeah, I guess it was a script that had been sitting around on his desk since like the 90s or something like that. And since they were kind of on a break with each other, although maybe they're getting back together. One of them made that Macbeth movie with Denzel Washington. And then the other one was like, I'll make this one. And you can kind of see little glimpses of what glimpses of what it could be. Sort of like a R-rated crime comedy.
Lots of sex, too. There was a ton of like sex in that film. Whatever, that's fine. But it was just, I was not expecting it. I was expecting it more to being about the getaway rather than whatever. But
Did you see,
I'm sure you've seen the movie at some point, or I would assume you would have, Miller's Crossing?
Oh, fantastic film. Yeah.
One of my favorite of all time. Yeah. Gave it a rewatch last night with my son who was home. And, wow, does that hold up? So great.
Yeah.
And I think it's in my Coen top three. I would say Lebowski, No Country, and Miller's Crossing. And I couldn't even tell you which is one, two, or three.
Yeah, I think it's an underrated Coen brothers because I think people, it came right after Raising Arizona, I think, which was such a great comedy.
Sure.
And people did not know what to make of this very, you know, straight, grim, just be, you know, crime film. And so I think it's one of their absolute best.
So absolutely great. The dialogue is just brilliant. And then you've got the Danny Boy scene with Albert Finney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, what a bad and so great. Just outstanding. Hey Rob, thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. Great catching up on this Friday. Let's go to the movies and talk some more down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks, Rob.
Yep.
That is entertainment reporter from the Capital Times, Rob Thomas, one of our Night Light frequent flyers. Always fun to talk to Rob. When we come back, after more award-winning news coverage, we are going to take a deep dive into the film Caddyshack, and I'm going to read some more of your texts. Our question tonight, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, my lover, I'm never gonna need a soft, sweet little girl's tongue.